Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, man, we're in right here, hour two. Man, I do love those guys down in the pit. Jared, like me and Sean, we're just having full conversations, like right before we get on. He agrees. He totally agrees that we have a great intro set up. So whomever put that together, because I don't know who specifically put it together, Chris Pavona.
It's gold.
Salute to you, sir. It is tremendous. Now, Jared, college. There is a lot of things to hit here. I want to get to your futures market, but in order to ensure that we spend the appropriate amount of time on Kansas-Baylor, we're going to start there, and we're going to go with it until we feel like we have completely made sure we've approached this thing from every angle. Because look, guys, you know, we have not done on this show a ton of day of pure how we are betting this game. You also don't, you know, we don't. How many times do you see games of this magnitude? Like, this is a massive game. This is a massive, massive game. But we're going to hit this from every single angle, Jared, in terms of the futures market. Can you bet this game almost through a futures market? And here's all I'm going to say, Jared. BATR is moving lines at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Like, we've got them thinking about things, pal. I got to be honest with you. It's time you start. You got to stop tagging them in your tweets about the value that they're leaving on the board.
I know, you're right.
Because they are adjusting.
I've got a bone to pick with FanDuel, too.
Well, listen.
I've got a bone to pick with FanDuel.
We like the FanDuel Sportsbook. You're queued up in a chat.
I'm pissed right now. I'm pissed right now, Kevin. I'm pissed. And I don't want to harp on it too much, but
yes.
There were some technical issues with a deposit that I made on FanDuel this morning, and I was trying to get that Kansas bet in at +110 to be a number one seed, and there was some funny business going on there, and all of a sudden I look up and they're -145 right before my account gets made whole again. So, listen, guys, I know I'm a sharp all of a sudden, but man, at least let me get the bet in before you move the line.
Well, look, I don't know if FanDuel's tuned in right now. And if you are, hello, we appreciate you.
I think they are.
But
I think John Sheeran's watching right now.
I mean, Jared, I definitely think someone pays attention if you tag them in it, like clearly, and you're like, hey, they're leaving meat on the bone. Let's all eat. Like, clearly. Now, the funny thing is.
But who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody.
I don't know, man. SportsGrid.
I'm just the guy betting on these games.
SportsGrid, it's got a reputation, man. It's building. So look, we'll set the deck, right, in terms of how this game is currently being priced. Right now, Baylor are 1.5-point home favorites. Typically, in this spot, I will just kind of throw the spread out on both sides of it all, and Baylor is -125 to win this basketball. Kansas is +105. Now, the angle that you were offering up, right, is Kansas +105 to win the game. At the time, Kansas, that you tweeted out, were +110 to get a one seed. It is now moved to -145. I actually was going to disagree with you a little bit. Let's put that to the side right now. For you.
Can't disagree with that that line move.
No. I mean, the line. Sure. There's various ways I want to approach it. Let me ask quickly, though. Now, do you take your +105, or are you still more inclined to just grab them here?
No, you take the +105.
Okay.
You take the +105. You take the better odds. You always take the better odds. That's why the +110 was there. Now, granted, the +110, you got to wait 2 weeks to get your cash, but it's essentially the same bet. Now it's not the same bet. Now it's -145 to +105, so you go with the money line. You get the more immediate payout. And if we did move the line, then you know what? You're right. I should stop tagging FanDuel.
So here is why I would have had a little bit of pushback with the logic. And there's, I totally see the vision. It's more so I almost want to try and see how many, if I can poke any holes in it, Jared, to push you the other way. Because this is the, like, you know what I mean? Like, because I know you're always like, I just, give me 5 cents and I win. First of all, in order to make plus 105 to plus 110 feel worth it, considering, right, if you play the plus 105, right, and let's just pretend that they didn't move the line because you tagged it. And by the way, nobody out there will convince me otherwise. Like, it's 8 in the morning, you send it out, it's plus 110. All of a sudden now, as we get back at 11 o'clock, it's moved, and it's like it's a decent-sized move. No one's convincing me otherwise. Like, so by the way, we're going off that premise. But let's pretend you didn't tag them. You didn't tag them, and it was still plus 110, Jared. Plus 105, if Kansas wins today, you cash that ticket, period. 100%, right? If they win today, that plus 110, I understand that you feel good about it. Maybe you could say you feel great about it. I disagree that it is the surefire lock. Baylor right now is minus 300 to get a number one seed. Baylor has already beaten Kansas. I believe, considering from what we've seen, these teams feel very destined to meet in the Big 12 tournament. If that happens again, the winner of that game, yes, is a 100% surefire lock to get a one seed in the NCAA tournament, Jared. However, I'm not positive that they will give 2 1 seeds from the same conference currently on this season.
I agree and disagree. I agree that the Big 12 tournament, if we get to that point, and it's a third rematch, then yes, that will determine probably who's the number one seed. However, from what we've seen in years past, and this is what I liken to the Big Ten and the Big East in terms of who is the top dog in those conferences, the bigger conferences, they tend to lean more towards the regular season in terms of where they get the seedings, because that's the truer test of time compared to just a 4-day window of success and a 4-month window of success, or 3-month window of success from January to March, and when the conference season usually is played. So I think if Baylor wins today, they win the Big 12 regular season, they are a number one seed regardless of what happens in the Big 12 tournament. Same for Kansas. If they win today and they win the Big 12 regular season, they are a number one seed regardless of what happens in the Big 12 tournament. I think they both could be number one seeds. Let's say, for argument's sake, Kansas wins this game today. Kansas wins the Big 12 tournament. Kansas wins the Big 12 regular season. Baylor wins the Big 12 tournament. So it's basically a split decision, which is what we could see tonight in the Wilder Fury fight. A split decision. Kansas, your regular season champs. Baylor, your tournament champs. I think in that case, based on the top heaviness of the Big 12, both Baylor and Kansas deserve to be a number one seed. I think Duke has fallen off. I think Dayton is certainly right there. Dayton is the steal. I think San Diego State and Gonzaga are locks to be ones. The odds say that. Right. Their regular seasons have said that. That is where they deserve to be. I think Baylor, Kansas, and Dayton are the three other teams competing for a number one seed. I think Baylor and Kansas, based on the strength of the Big 12, if those teams split the decision, like we just said, one of them is the regular season champs, the other one is the tournament champs, both of them will be number one seeds come Selection Sunday. If it is a full decision in one direction, say Baylor wins today, Baylor wins the Big 12 tournament, Baylor is a number one seed, Dayton should be the fourth number one seed, Kansas the top two seed. That is where I think things should play out. I think if Kansas wins this game today, though, they deserve to be a number one seed. They have proven it. Time in and time out, the best defense in the country tends to be the best overall team in the country come March. And that is where I think these teams are shaking out right now. I think Baylor right now today can win the Big 12. They can win the Big 12 today with a win. Another interesting handicap here, Kevin. Where does Baylor project themselves to be? Meaning, do they care more about this game today or do they care more about winning the Big 12 tournament? And that is where things could get interesting in this particular game today for this particular handicap, because maybe they're not going to give you their full hand. Maybe they're going to save some. Maybe they're going to keep some things in the bag with Maceo Teague as well, not 100%. Maybe they're like, all right, we'll give Kansas this one today. We're going to get them in Waco, or we're going to get them in the Big 12 tournament. I forget where it is. I think it's in Kansas City.
So here's the thing, and that's why this game has so many different ways to approach it. But here's what I will say, Jared. To me, the reason why I would go all out today is I do believe with a win today, Baylor's a one no matter what happens. Because realistically, look, I know upsets can happen, but you go through it. It's at West Virginia. Their last regular season game is the only game that gives you some pause. And by the way, wouldn't be a bad loss. Like, one loss in the Big 12, beating Kansas both times, including by double digits in their building, like, wouldn't be a bad loss at all. They've got wins over Villanova, Arizona, and Butler. They've beaten Texas Tech. Like, Baylor, with a win today, to me, does lock up, Jared, a number one seed. And that's why the Baylor minus 300 to be a one seed is a waste. Play the minus 125 for them today. Yes, they could still end up being a one seed. The Kansas thing of it all, though, I think there's a little bit there. There's a little bit more to it as well, Jared, that I want to dive into their overall resume. And also, too, even just an overall betting strategy, talking about how much of a difference is plus 105 to plus 110, considering the variables that still remain? And again, our initial breakdowns of how you would play this game. There's so much more to get to. We'll keep it rolling on BATR.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
We are in right now. I'm betting around the rim. And I don't know if it was intentional, but your audio, Jared, like, popped up for me during the break. So I got to hear you screaming at no one about your situation. Again, I don't want to bring it on air. You're handling it. We will let it play itself out. But
honestly, I'm on tilt right now, bro. I'm so upset. I've never been more upset at a sports book in my entire life. Figure it out, FanDuel. This is ridiculous.
I mean, look, man, it's just Lonzo Ball.
I can't believe
it.
I can't believe it.
Lonzo Ball, and it's on you. We know it. You think that you can pull a fast one on us, and they're not letting it happen. And I agree with that.
Right.
I agree.
No.
You're trying to hoodwink us. I mean, your math is off. Get the calculator out, and that's what it is. Lonzo Ball's the best.
I can't. I can't even, like, I've never dealt with this this is the issue that we have with sportsbooks today. And listen, you guys at FanDuel, you guys are great. We love you, man. I use you guys so much, and I rely on you so much for the numbers. But when I make a Lonzo Ball over 26.5 points, rebounds, and assists prop, and he has 16, 6, and 5, which any math person can say that's 27, and you take money out of my account weeks later because you thought the bet was graded as a loss, it was a win. The money should have been in my account the whole time. You can't take it out. And now they're taking money out of my account for a bet that I won. I'm at a loss. I can't believe it. And I'm trying to put that money on Kansas, but I can't now because they took it out of my account.
And you know what? It's, you know, Jared, you know the old saying is you look over here and then you get smacked. They got you looking over here just in time for them to change up that Kansas line you thought you found some value on.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
how they get you,
Kevin.
But
exactly.
You know what? I don't mind the hoodwink. I gotta respect the hustle. Here's the question I do have for you, Jared, right? And I think it's because you're someone who's about value, but you also step up in unit size, so you can kind of, I think, really give a good answer to this. For me, plus 105 to plus 110 is not a significant difference. Yes, it's a difference. It's not a significant difference. And I do not believe the variables that applied to, like, if Kansas wins today, you cash plus 105. If Kansas wins today, you do not cash plus 110. Sure, you are likely to cash plus 110. You feel good about cashing plus 110. The odds will move to probably minus money But we don't make money just because our odds are right. Like nobody, we haven't cashed any Miami Heat futures, Jared, just because they've been cut in half of what we said they were, like where the value was. For me, the variables were not worth it. Like if you're a say $50 player, plus 110 wins you 55, plus 105 wins you 52. Like the $3 difference, like again, I'm not saying $3 is nothing. Like every dollar you can get is great. The variables don't justify it to me, Jared, unless I'm playing enough to where that 5 cent percentage actually catches up because I'm playing enough on the dollar amount. But maybe I'm off base and I'm curious what you think.
I mean, I think when you get to this point in the regular season, and I guess we're kind of at the end of the regular season for college basketball, you can start to put a picture of where your bankroll is, and every bankroll is different, and it's our job to give you the information and to try to give you the edge. It's not our job to manage your bankroll. That's your job. We're not going to tell you how much is too much to risk, not enough to risk, just amount, you know, just the right amount, so on and so forth.
Sure.
When it comes to when you're getting the funds, yes, that is the opportunity cost of betting a future. You're getting better value, probably. Mm. You're getting the better price, but you have to wait to get your money if you do, in fact, win that bet. So you have to take that into account when you're making these bets. Personally, I don't want to say I have an unlimited bankroll, but my bankroll is probably deeper than the average bettor because I have a stash of money from other futures bets that have cashed and I put aside. So if I need to put something in that's a long-term play, I have the bankroll to do that, and it doesn't take a hit for my day-to-day bets that I make. Not everybody is in that situation. Sometimes you have $100 in your account, and that's the $100 you have in your account for that day. You can't access more funds. If that's the case, then yes, the 5 extra cents of juice for betting Kansas plus 110, which, by the way, is now gone, or Kansas plus 105 is very minuscule. And I would recommend you to take the plus 105 if you think Kansas, like me, is going to win today.
Mm-hmm.
However, big picture, sometimes those odds are too good to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Heat is the perfect example of that at 50-1. It doesn't matter when the bet is cashed. You have to take 50-1. You are not going to see that number anytime in the near future. Mm-hmm. And clearly that is the case. Same thing for Penn State. At 50-1, I had to take that number. I was willing to dip into other funds in order to take that number because I knew that number was not going to be there. I thought it was going to be Selection Sunday. It was much sooner than that. They're at 30-1 now. And we'll get to the Penn State futures odds and the rest of some of these college basketball futures odds that are intriguing in just a moment. But back to the Kansas-Baylor game in particular. Yes, if your bankroll is limited, plus 105 and plus 110, not a huge difference there. Mm-hmm. Just go with the game. Go with the pick that is going to benefit you the most today. We think Kansas is going to win. I think Kansas is going to win. Sure. Plus 105 is a good number to take that.
And the next thing we're going to do, I think, then is just kind of how you want or why you think Kansas is going to win, why you want to bet this game the way that you want to bet it. But let me just also say this, guys. Same sportsbook here. And sometimes we talk about you got to do your shopping between the tabs at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But this is not a mistake. I think this is something that we can understand because the perception of Baylor, despite being the number one team based on, you know, your AP top 25 poll, doesn't necessarily mean that they're the odds-on favorites. And Jared, actually, I believe you had a tweet about who was gaining a lot of money. We can hit that on the other side because I do want to talk about the future stuff as well. We've got a lot of stuff that we've talked about kind of setting up the show, and we can hit a ton of it with Mid-Major Matt, who's going to be joining us in our last segment like he always does, because especially Gonzaga BYU today, a couple of angles there that I really want to be able to hit on with him as well. And I also like forcing him to talk Pac-12 because he hates the Pac-12, and Arizona and Oregon are going to be playing a massive game today. But Baylor is not the favorite to win the national championship, nor Gonzaga, who are Baylor minus 300, Gonzaga minus 400 to get a one seed in the NCAA tournament. It is Kansas at plus 800. Baylor is 11-1 to win the national championship. So that is why, to me, if this bet was still on the board at plus 110, I would urge Kansas backers to look to cash their ticket today. I don't think the 5 cents is worth the variables because, again, things are selective. If San Diego State and Dayton win out, they actually might be inclined to push them in that direction. It is funny, for so long, Jared, we talked about, man, there's no good teams, right? And there might be 10 teams that can win the tournament because everybody stinks. As this season has progressed, I almost now am starting to change my tune a little to,
maybe I can buy myself into 10 teams because I kind of like 10 different teams. And that could tee us up to the futures market. But before we do that, Jared, for those that are, you know, if you're not hearing us on replay, and if you are, you can find out if we're right or we're wrong, which is still lovely. For those who are doing this game day of, and it's pretty crazy because it's a noon game. Like, you know, you would have thought that this game would be on like 8 o'clock or the midday special. Noon game. Baylor's favored. You like Kansas. Why? And if you're playing the total, how so?
So here we go. So the first game between these two teams quite some time ago was back on January 11th. It was at Allen Fieldhouse. Baylor won at 67-55. Baylor shot 8 of 19 from 3 in that game. Baylor's not a good three-point shooting team. That was an anomaly. Kansas, decent three-point shooting team. They shot 4 of 15 from 3 in that game. If you take that and you squeeze those numbers back to their averages, there's your 12-point difference right there. Kansas should have made 2 more threes in that game. Baylor should have made 2 less threes in that game. Yeah. There's your 12 points right there out of the gates. Now you look at some of the factors heading into this game. Is Masiyo Teague 100% healthy? He missed the game the other night against Oklahoma with that wrist injury. I'm not buying that he's going to come back today and be 100%. He is a huge part of this Baylor offense. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, I think Devon Dotson is playing right now some of his best basketball of the season. A monster game the other night. I believe he had 30 points the other night. 21 points the other night against Duke. Let me look at Iowa State. No, 29 against Iowa State. I was looking at the bottom half of the schedule. 29 points against Iowa State the other night. He is starting to play some of his best basketball of the season at the exact right time for the Jayhawks. Azubuike in the middle is going to clog up the lane. Baylor is not a good offensive team. We saw it time and time again when they play up to their opponent in terms of their defensive level. Baylor cannot score with consistency. I question Baylor's offense today. I think Kansas is going to lock this game down in the middle. I don't think Baylor gets to 60. I think it's a 65-60 win for the Jayhawks, and I think Kansas takes over the mantle as the top seed in the Big 12 this afternoon in Waco.
Let me say this. Again, for those who are with us live right now, we love you. But again, if you're on the replay, that's all good as well. But let me just say this. Later on, in-game live, Jared, I know that you and I have 2 hours together, and the beautiful thing is with this being a 12 o'clock start, we can actually see how much all these markets that we're talking about, the futures markets, will adjust solely off that one game. So any in-game live watchers, I believe, Jared, it's me and you from 4 to 6. I'll make the promise right now, between all of the other in-game live stuff, we will be hitting on that. Let me tell you this, though, Jared. I do lean towards the Baylor Bears in this game. They are home. They've just been the best team in the country on the season. 1.5 for them at home, again, is a price that I'm down to lay. And I think all things considered, look, they went to Kansas. They won by double digits. Like, they have earned the ranking that they have. Ultimately, though, Jared, I think this is a perfect in-game live type of game. When you have two teams with this kind of pedigree and this kind of spread, the FanDuel Sportsbook, I know this game, Jared, will flip nonstop. If Kansas scores first, they might become the favorites in this basketball game. That is how much this line will be willing to move. I think if you are patient and strike the right time, you will be able to see both of these teams at certain points getting 5 points. Hit it. You can get both of them getting plus money on the money line. Hit it. What I do like, though, is, and it falls in line with what you just said there, Jack, with that final score, the under. Baylor at home on the season, 8-4 to the under. Kansas, 9 road games. Every single one of them, Jared, has gone under the number. When they travel, they lock in under 129.5. We hit a break. We come back. Jared's future board. I'm betting around the rim.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. It's a great day. Like, it's one of those things. It's a fun day, man. Like, Sean's killing it down there with the intros. Jared, every so often, I just hear you flipping out over there because they really like. The thing, though, is, Jared, this is how you get them. This is how you trick them. I think through our discussion, we maybe agreed that the plus 105 money line is actually maybe the way to go about it. And this is how you get them. So you roll with Kansas, and so be it. Look, Jared.
Yeah, but I have $218 less in my account than I should. I should have $500 in my account.
Look, you'll get there, okay? I also...
I don't know. They're kind of giving me the runaround on the online chat right now. I'm about to walk over to the window and raise hell. I've never seen anything like this before in my life, Kevin. This is like, it's hard enough to win a bet on your own. Nonetheless, when you win the bet, and then they say, no, you lost. I'm taking the money back, like 2 weeks later. I've never dealt with that. This is borderline fraud, what FanDuel is doing. And again, we love FanDuel. We're here doing the show. We love you guys. Figure it out.
I tell you.
Figure it out. When a bet's over 26.5 and it gets to 27, you shouldn't take the money back after you've paid the client.
It's a good thing that this is a basketball bet.
I'm at a loss right now.
It does weave in.
Sure.
We're working on it. Now, Jared, there's a couple of other big games, again, that we mentioned on today's slate. Also tomorrow, I believe it's Butler-Creighton. And again, I kind of, because they're so big that they're like, with doing this show, they're absolutely worth mentioning. But again, we're going to approach them not as in-depth as this Baylor-Kansas game, but I think a comparable approach to try and break them down, what they mean moving forward in our perceptions of these teams. We'll have the ability to do that a lot with mid-major map. But, Jared, comparable to, you know, we've been doing the on and off as much as we can with 1 week college, 1 week NBA. Last week you were at Vegas. We kind of had an overarching conversation about futures markets between different books, which again was a really, really fun one. And again, if FanDuel doesn't pay you, who knows, maybe he'll be going only other books. No, I'm kidding. Again, FanDuel, you know Jared will be loyal. Like, he's walking out of there with tickets. I know it. So Jared, I lay it up to you. Talk to me. Jared's futures board, what do you got?
Yeah, let's throw up the futures board right now so I can kind of show you what I'm looking at this week. So, all right, so unfortunately, the Duke odds have moved a little bit since this morning to plus 1,000. But I think the overarching theme about these teams still holds true. And these teams all have one thing in common, Kevin. These four teams right now on the board are the only four teams right now on KenPom that are completely balanced, meaning their offense and their defense is top 25 each rated in KenPom. Kansas is another team that is interesting in this mix, but because we're playing Kansas today, I left them off of this futures board. But Kansas is another one of those teams that qualifies as a top 25 offense and a top 25 defense, or top 30. It'll fluctuate from game to game. But for the most part, these four teams are the four most balanced teams in the country, and you can throw Kansas on there as well. But Penn State right now, surprisingly, is the most publicly bet futures pick to win the NCAA tournament on FanDuel. And that is, I'm shocked. This is a Penn State team that last year was under 500. They haven't made the tournament since 2011. And right now at 30-1, remember, we gave them out at 50-1 when this show began a few weeks ago. We have since basically cut that in half. And now Penn State, coming off of a tough loss, they've got a big game tomorrow against Indiana, and I think their futures value is beholden in how they close the season. They've done a great job up to this point, but now they're facing some adversity. If this is a top four seed come Selection Sunday, those odds are going to be looking a lot like more what San Diego State is right now at 20-1. Mm. And again, when we're betting these futures picks, it's all about closing line value. Let's talk about Gonzaga for a moment, because we talk about the Blue Bloods all the time, the Dukes, the Kansases, those teams that we expect to be in the Final Four. I would throw Gonzaga into that mix, and here's why. Usually in March, it's all about the guards. Which guards are going to carry you through a six-game gauntlet of the NCAA tournament? Well, guess what? Gonzaga's got two forwards that play like guards. We all know about Killian Tilly. Tilly is one of the best players in the country. Here's a player who is probably better than Tilly, at least statistically speaking, that you probably haven't even heard of. Filip Petrusev. You need to know this guy. He's going to finish in the top 10 in the Naismith rankings. He is as good, if not better than Tilly, at handling the basketball. He is a blocking machine in the middle. He can shoot it from anywhere on the court. And this is a guy who is going to play like a guard in March. And Gonzaga has the pedigree. I think Mark Few is one of the more underrated coaches in the country. Every year he has his team in a top five position as a number one seed or competing for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And he has his guys ready to go again this year. This is a Gonzaga team that has not lost since Thanksgiving week. They are just as hot, if not hotter, than Baylor or Kansas or any of those other teams that we talk about, San Diego State, Dayton, that are putting together long winning streaks. I know it's not a sexy pick, and I know everybody likes to fade the Bulldogs when it comes to late March, but if not this year, then when for Mark Few? Petrusev, Tilly, they're as good as they get in the NCAA tournament. You're not going to find a deeper team than Gonzaga. You won't find a more experienced team than Gonzaga. If I had to put my money on one team today to win it all, I'm taking the Bulldogs.
So here's the question that I've been trying to figure out, Jared, on, because I think one of the, you talked about closing line value. And, you know, sometimes the battle with the futures market is, you know, you want to get the best of the line. We also talk about, though, being willing to pay for some information. Now, unfortunately, last year I was involved in the NCAA futures market, but not until the bracket was set. And by the way, I've heard some exciting things about how the grid's going to be covering March Madness. I think we're going to do a rock star job. It's going to be great, and I can't wait for it. Unfortunately, though, Jared, I have to admit that I wasn't tracking things as closely the way that I have been this year with how the market has been moving and when they're, you know, making these jumps from a team, you know, Gonzaga from 10 to 1 to 9 to 1. So the question.
By the way, I don't mean to interrupt you, Kevin, but no, FanDuel has made me whole.
Okay. No, it's
so
a good story.
Thank you, FanDuel.
It's a good story.
Not only did they put the money back in my account,
free play?
But they gave me a $100 bonus.
Hey!
$100 bonus.
That goes to Kansas.
So I applaud you, FanDuel.
That's got to go to Kansas.
I agree. I just bet on Kansas plus 105
there
on
we
money
go.
Line. $100.
Go. Good. That's how you tell a story right there, folks. So here's the question, Jared, that I've been trying to figure out with these teams. And I actually did a little bit of research before we got in on when the bracket is set, what do your favorites look like? Like, kind of, what are their odds? And, you know, last year, Duke was a little better than, I think, 2-1 when the bracket was set. And I think typically your one seeds will be about 5-1 and less. And the thing that I've been trying to figure out, Jared, and I don't know if you'll be able to, you know, go back and remember, but I know you've been doing, you know, you've been hitting these futures market for a long time here. Kansas, Gonzaga, Duke, and Baylor. Let's just take those four because those are the four favorites right now. Because this has been a unique college season, will those teams stay, you know, 5-1 or less? So, you know, 6-1, 7-1, 8-1, or will all of them be 5-1 or lower? I guess is maybe the better way to put it. You're 4-1, 3-1. Will we see a Gonzaga at a 2-1 here to where if you like these teams, you got to hit them now because when the bracket shapes up, they are going to end up having their value cut in half just because it's March.
You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny. I think with Gonzaga, they will have the most movement because I think they're going to be the number one overall seed if we get a Kansas-Baylor, you know, collision where one team wins one game and another team wins another game and they kind of knock themselves out. Mm. I think San Diego State will be the number. And it's actually a fascinating equation to me because I think Gonzaga and San Diego State both have the case to be the number one seed out West. But if you're San Diego State, if you're not a one seed out West, I'd rather be the two seed in the West because I don't want to be the right one seed in the East and have to play Duke at the Garden. Like, I wouldn't want to do that if I'm San Diego State. I would rather stay in L.A., which is where the West Regional is being played this year, just a short 100 miles north from San Diego, and play Gonzaga as the one in that regional final, mm-hmm. than have to drive or fly all the way across the country to New York City and play Duke or one of the other top two seeds, maybe it's Dayton, in the Garden in the regional final. If it's Duke as the two seed in the East, which I think it will be, you're telling me that Duke is going to have a much better home court advantage at the Garden than San Diego State would. So it's kind of funny. If I'm San Diego State, if I'm not the one, I'd rather be the two in the West. I do not want to have to go East. So we'll see how the calculus plays out, but I actually do think it's going to be Duke as the two in the East, which is going to make whoever that one seed is in the East a very tough matchup. Mm. Could be Dayton, could be San Diego State. We'll see. But I think Gonzaga will be the number one overall seed, and they will keep them in the West.
I'll say this, Jared. A part of me is wondering if I want to finally get involved in that futures market and ask you to lay some down at FanDuel Sportsbook before you make your way back here. I might. We'll see. I've got some time to make the decision before the show closes. Mid-Major Matt is up next.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
All right, let's go. Betting around the rim. One segment here. Show flies by again, because they all do. We've got a lot to hit, but folks, it's going to happen. The next time you see me this year, we'll use this as a physical representation. A nice $20 bill will disappear and turn into a lovely Kentucky 20-1 to win the NCAA championship.
You ain't got a Benjamin in your pocket there, Kev?
No. I mean, I don't even... You know, Jared, you remember last time... We had a real long day. It was the Betting Around the Rim debut, and we were doing dollar bets on the air on a Knicks-Pacers game.
Oh, that's right.
That's when people were saying that I had a moth in my wallet because I had my ripped jeans on. It was, I mean, it was quite the day that we ended up having. However, we are starting to make the appropriate maneuvers to transform this 20 into a Kentucky 20-1 ticket to win the NCAA tournament. I believe that I think I'll get the best of that number. At some point, this thing's going to close. I just looked at another.
I agree with you. I think that's a good pick.
I just looked at another spot, Jared. It was plus 1050. Now, the other spot that I looked at usually just screws me on numbers, but it also just lets me know, too, like if I want to do this, it's going to have to be using the FanDuel Sportsbook. Matt, what a better way to welcome you in than to get your reaction on my idea to lay $20 on Kentucky at 20-1 to win the NCAA tournament.
I think that future has a better shot than someone's homerific future that's actually made
with you. Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! Oh, Matt. Happy Saturday, bro. Happy Saturday. At least give me this, Matt. At least give me this. But at least give me this. And this is why the conversation with you is so intense usually, because you do tell it like it is. You don't pull any punches. At 30-1, if this team goes on, they're the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament, say they lose in the Big Ten final, and they're a number three seed in the NCAA tournament, that 30-1 is going to be cut in half probably, right? Mm. At 50-1, I bet it at 50-1. So I'm going to be getting $3 or $4 of juice. Let's say it finishes at 20-1. I feel like that's a win for me. If I make a futures bet at 50-1 and it closes at 20-1, to me, that means like I made a good bet. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, of course you made a good bet, other than the fact it's not going to win. But like, yeah, you got a great price on a non-winner. That's awesome.
I love it, man. You know, the best too is like, it's Jared, it's always us. Like, I feel like Matt is, you know, he just kind of lets it roll for a lot of people, but we've found a way for Matt to be like, yeah, these two clowns, they like betting Virginia overs. Like, I'm just letting them know what it is. And that's why we always love bringing Matt on. So Matt, we had a very, very in-depth conversation about Kansas Baylor, and not just how I would, you know, people would bet the game day of, but also what the result could mean for the futures market. And today, beautifully, Gonzaga BYU, We've got a top 25 matchup in conference. The biggest game Gonzaga's played in quite some time. They're going to BYU. It's a 4.5-point spread. Now, Matt, last time we were on the air, my goodness, it was Gonzaga down against the Dons at half, -2.5. They end up covering and not like, I mean, just stupid what this team did. I can only imagine the momentum that would kind of give them coming into this matchup. Before even, Matt, you would approach how you would play today's game, if Gonzaga is upset today by BYU, how much do you think that could change the perception for them? They're -400 to be a one seed in the tournament, for example. To you, would a loss to BYU, is that redeemable by winning the conference tournament and, say, you know, beating BYU in the path to doing that? Or is this loss going to knock them out of what feels like a surefire thing to be a one?
I think if they lose today and win the WCC, they're still a one seed, but they're not in the West. And that's the thing. So I think them and San Diego State are the two candidates for the one in the West. I think if Gonzaga keeps winning and they win their conference, they're going to be the number one overall seed. And I think they choose the West. If they do lose and San Diego State keeps winning, then I think San Diego State's the number one in the West and Gonzaga is the one in the East. But yeah, I don't think a loss today would kill them with regards to a one. I think a loss today and a loss in the WCC tournament, that would, but they could probably swallow one more loss either today or in the championship game.
Matt, let's talk about Dayton. Big game for them today. I believe they're at Duquesne, and I think they're probably the best team in the A-10. They kind of proved it the other night against Rhode Island, so I don't expect them to slip up much in the Atlantic 10 schedule, but let's talk big picture about the Flyers. I'm seeing them right now. I believe it's 15-1 to win the NCAA tournament. We know about Obi Toppin. We know how good the backcourt is. I really like the head coach as well, the guy from Alabama who's done a really nice job. Talk to me about Dayton, big picture. You could touch a little bit on the game today, but I want to know if you think the Flyers are a legit title contender.
I do. Kevin and I talked about this on Thursday on In Game Live. I don't think there's a chance they get a one. So I'm pretty sure that Dayton's going to be locked into a two. I don't think there's enough teams ahead of them that are going to lose to get them into the one. You'd have to have an extreme case for an 8-10 team. I know the record's going to be glossy, but an 8-10 team to be a one seed. So I think their max is a two. I think if in the right region, they could beat the one. It depends on who their region is. Yeah, they've got all the pieces. Toppin, Anthony Grant's a good coach. They've got the veteran guards in there. They've got the savvy guys off the bench. You know, I watched them Tuesday night. I was at the VCU game here in Richmond and watched Dayton in person. They run such a crisp offense and somebody's always open. And that's really hard nowadays in college basketball. There's probably some value, but I don't know if there's actually enough value. They're almost too good for you to take any value here because I just don't know. I think they can win the national championship, but the price isn't good enough for me to lay some money on it.
So let me ask you this, Matt. When it comes to these two games specifically, though, with Dayton at the moment laying 13.5 to Duquesne and then Gonzaga on the road laying 4.5 to BYU, if you were to play those games, how would you play them?
Well, I think we know what I've already locked in. I'm going back to the well on the Gonzaga first half over because San Francisco clearly didn't want to run and they play a faster pace and they went into Spokane and said, basically, look, we're going to grind this out. BYU's not going to do that. BYU wants to run. They're a very good 3-point shooting team. They were not good in Spokane the first time they played. I think we're going to see a lot of pace. I think we're going to see a lot of possessions here. The move down a little bit. I saw it open at like 162 for the game. It's like 158 now, 159. I think the game overs were to look to in this one. It's going to be close. I don't know if I'm ready to lay the points with Gonzaga. I think they win in the Marriott Center, but like this is BYU's Super Bowl. So I think the total is more worth a look here in terms of the over and certainly the first half over, which I already got at 75.5.
Matt, let's talk about Murray State. We think they're the best team in the OVC, but they had a game the other night against Eastern Illinois that was one for the ages. I believe they had a 27-point lead with like 10 minutes left, and they just collapsed. This is a Murray State team. Obviously, no more Ja Morant. They've kind of fallen back to the pack in terms of their talent level, but they're still one of the best teams in the mid-major region in that Ohio Valley. Talk about the Racers. Are they going to be another team that peaks their head up in the NCAA tournament, or are they just not as good, not as deep with no Ja Morant?
They're not as good. They for the first time in a while, don't have the best player in the conference. That's probably Terry Taylor at Austin Peay. Belmont's got a bunch of guys who are really good, too. The key here is, and they used to do it, and they keep changing the OVC tournament, but they basically give the 1 and 2 seeds essentially like a bye all the way to the semifinals. So if they're not one of those 1 or 2, then they'll probably start their tournament in the quarterfinals. And so if you're looking at Austin Peay and Belmont, who get those 1 and 2 seeds, I think whoever gets to have to play the least amount of games. Look, there's nobody in this conference other than maybe Eastern Kentucky who can knock off the top three. So it's all about when Murray State starts to play, who they get first, will there be an upset along the way? But they're no longer the favorites in the OVC. It's probably Belmont or Austin Peay.
Interesting game today in the Colonial. Hofstra and Delaware. These are two of the three best teams in the Colonial Conference. We love Hofstra here on Long Island, here in New York City. Talk about the pride. Are they the best team in the Colonial? There tends to be one team in the Colonial every year that gives somebody problems in the NCAA tournament. Could it be Hofstra this season?
I actually don't think so. I mean, you guys know, I mean, you guys have done a lot of shows with me. I'm a big William & Mary guy. I think William & Mary could finally get off the schneid and win their first tournament. Also, look, I don't like Hofstra today. Delaware is getting slept on by Vegas. I got in early last night on Delaware +1. If you look at their numbers, they're 14th in effective field goal percentage because they're 12th in two-pointers, 57th in three-pointers, and 32nd in free throw percentage. Delaware's a really efficient team. They got no respect last time out against Northeastern. They won that game by 22 points. They already have a win at Hofstra today this season. I think Delaware is a team that could sneak up on a bunch of people, and I think it happens today when they get their 21st win over Hofstra.
Now, Matt, you know that it wouldn't be a segment between you and I if I didn't make you talk about the Pac-12, because I know how much you love the Pac-12, Matt. I absolutely have to. There's actually a massive game today in the Pac-12. It's actually a pretty great day for college hoops here again. Obviously, Baylor and Kansas, Gonzaga, BYU will close it up. But Arizona and Oregon are playing today. Arizona are 4.5-point favorites with this being in their building. And it's a comparable situation where I'm curious how something like this can impact the futures market. If you look at it right now, Arizona is 35-1 to win the NCAA tournament. Oregon is 22-1 to win the NCAA tournament. And if you take it a step further in terms of making the Final Four, which is a bet that I know, Matt, you like for other teams, not these teams, and Jared as well, Oregon is +450. Arizona is 700. I'm curious, Matt, do you think that the futures market, that gap between Oregon and Arizona, is justifiable?
Well, if you want to light money on fire, you could place any sort of futures on the Pac-12. We've already discussed this. I think a lot of them, they may get 5 or 6 teams in the tournament. I think a lot of them are going to go 1 and done. This is a conference where the home team dominates. You saw that in Arizona State. Arizona State's okay, and they won that game against Oregon. But when Oregon goes and plays at home, they've got a really good home court advantage. Arizona has a really good home court advantage. Mm-hmm. To me, none of these teams have shown me anything that makes me want to put any money on them of any substance. I know that a lot of places put out the conference total, win total bets for the NCAA tournament. I'm taking the under in the Pac-12. I think a lot of them are 1 and done this year.
Matt, thank you so much. Good luck to you on all your plays for the remainder of the weekend. Betting around the rim, that'll do it for us here. I mean, Jared, what a show it's been. We saw you get money taken from you. Money's come back.
Let's go Jayhawks, baby.
You've been moving lines. It's been a wild installment number 4 betting around the rim, but it's been a blast. We'll do it all again next weekend. Thanks for taking us out.